because of the disrespect towards Sukracharya. And since they have now worshipped Sukracharya with great devotion, they have again become powerful. By their devotion to Sukracharya, they have increased their strength so much that now they are even able to easily seize my abode from me. So these verses testify to the importance of accepting the spiritual master, worshipping the spiritual master, because by his grace one can make progress in spiritual life. Even persons accepting the demons who accepted Sukracharya as their spiritual master, they became powerful in a certain way. They didn't become advanced in spiritual life, but they did become materially powerful. So the principle of respecting superior is actually very important, because Sukracharya wasn't what we could call a bona fide guru. After all, in the story of the appearance of Vamanadeva, Sukracharya advised Bali Maharaj not to give anything to Vamanadeva because he was actually Vishnu. So Sukracharya was he was perceptive, he was a powerful personality, but he was coming in a seminal line. Sukra actually means seminal, so he was coming in a seminal line of gurus. He wasn't a bona fide guru by dint of his qualities in spiritual advancement, rather by dint of the family lineage. But he did have some perceptiveness. He could understand that Vamanadeva was actually Lord Vishnu. But generally, yajna by Vishnu, that sacrifice is meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu. And in the Bhagavad Gita it is said that yajyartat karmanun yatra loko yam karma bandana tadartha karma kontiya mukta sangha samachara, that the work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. So he would have known that, but still he was greedy for his own benefit. And also he had some it's a kind of business deal with the demons, that you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You know, you worship me nicely and provide for me nicely, and I'll give you instructions where you can become more materially powerful and opulent, and you'll be able to defeat the demigods. So it's like a kind of honor among thieves, or some kind of crooked contract there between Sukracharya and the demons. But still, because they were devoted to him as their spiritual master and worshipped him with attention, they became powerful. And they were so powerful that they were able to seize the abode of Lord Brahma. And there are many times when the demons became powerful like that. Bali Maharaj actually occupied the throne of Indra. Hiranyakashipu also succeeded in occupying the throne of Indra. So like that, there's perpetual battle going on between the devas, between the suras or devas and the asuras. And Prabhupada actually, there's one purport in the sixth canto where there's a description of this story of Vritrasura, how he was in battle with Indra and he was very powerful, and Indra was being pressed down by his influence. So in the purport, Prabhupada says that because the demigods are Sakama devotees, they have material desires, therefore they get some reaction to that in the form of harassment from demons. But because the Lord is always the protector of his devotees, and because even though they're Sakama devotees, they're still devotees and they all appeal to the Lord, and the Lord will protect them. So ultimately that's why they're always victorious, and there's so many times that the Lord actually comes to protect the in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? There's so many different appearances of the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming to protect his devotees. So we may ask, how come it is that a devotee gets some kind of reaction? A devotee is a devotee, and you know, he shouldn't be getting it, any kind of karma. But actually, it's not karma in the ordinary sense. The materialist, he is under the a grip of the material energy. And the karma that he's giving is being administered by the material energy, by Maya. And it's a very severe reaction to his misbehavior. Whereas the devotee, on the other hand, he may appear to be getting some kind of reaction or karma, but actually it's not to be considered as ordinary karma. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made that point in the Madhurya Padambini, that the devotee doesn't get ordinary karma. So even if a devotee, we see a devotee's sick or some seeming misfortune befalls him, is actually be considered as the mercy of Krishna for his purification and upliftment. So one should not, you know, point a finger at another devotee like that, oh, just see, he's getting his karma. It's not like that. The devotees don't get karma. They're relieved of karma. That is also by the grace of the spiritual master. One surrenders to the spiritual master, serves the spiritual master, then he becomes relieved of his karma. Prabhupada gave the example of the fan. And when one surrenders to a bona fide spiritual master, then it's like pulling out the plug, and the fan goes slower and slower and slower until it stops altogether. But still, devotees may some calamity may befall them. But that's the point. It's being administered by Krishna, that. It's not being administered by Maya. So it's not an ordinary kind of reaction that the devotee is getting. But whatever is happening to him, it's for the spiritual purification and upliftment. And a devotee should learn to see in that way. He should learn to see difficulties as an arrangement of Krishna, so that he can depend more fully on Krishna. Just as Queen Kunti sees the example of one who saw like that, the famous verses, there we put in Shantu Tashtashtva, Tatra Tatra Jagat Karo, Bhavato Darshanam Yatsha, Apuna Bhavadarshanam, that my Lord, I wish those calamities would happen again, for thus we could see you again and again, and seeing you is the only way to cross over the ocean of birth and death. So the devotee takes reverses or difficulties as an opportunity to depend more fully on Krishna. Because sometimes if we're in a comfortable position, everything is going very well, then the tendency can be there to forget Krishna, or to think this is all going on by my intelligence, and I'm a very brilliant person, and in this way a person may become proud, even a devotee. So sometimes Krishna will give, you know, some difficult situation or reverse, and then the devotee again, he has to become humble, he has to pray to Krishna. So actually that's also what happened to the demigods, that they become very powerful, very opulent, and when they're in a victorious position, and then the tendency is to forget the Lord, to become absorbed in different types of heavenly enjoyments, and then the reaction is there. The demons come and harass them. So that's the arrangement of the Lord, so they again have to surrender to the Lord and pray to the Lord, and then the Lord comes and protects them. So this is example of this also. Indra become puffed up with his material opulence, and so he didn't respect his spiritual master. And because of that offense, Guru Aparad, then he lost his power completely. He became useless and hopeless. And in that way, the demigods were easily defeated by the demons. So that will apply to us also in our own lives. As devotees, we all accept spiritual master. So we always have to respect and honor, worship the spiritual master. And especially we have to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And the best way to respect and honor the spiritual master is to take his instructions seriously. It's not that just we are going to offer some flowers and dandavas and then go off and not listen to the instruction of the spiritual master. So we shouldn't be dandavat bhaktas. Just making a show of bhakti and devotion, but rather we should be sincerely dedicated to following the order of our spiritual master. And we see that Srila Prabhupada, he was a prime example of that, isn't it? Prabhupada, he would always say like that, my spiritual master is always with me because I'm always trying to carry out his instructions. And he said, I have no qualification, personally. My only qualification is that I'm trying to execute the order of my spiritual master. So because of that sincerity and dedication to Guru, Srila Prabhupada became so powerful that he could spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Even at an advanced age, he left India at the age of what?
69.
69. Is it? So, he was, most people at that age, they're, you know, at the fag end of their life and they have very little strength to do anything. But Prabhupada was so much empowered that he could work much harder than all his young disciples, all young men and women in the prime of youth. But yet, the Prabhupada would sleep less, eat less, and still he had much more energy and determination and intelligence in order to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So this is by the grace of Guru. And if we simply dedicate ourselves fully in his service, or in the service of his servants, then we can also get potency and ability, intelligence, how to inject Krishna consciousness into the hearts of others. Actually, Prabhupada said that even a neophyte devotee who is following the instructions of an advanced devotee, he can change other persons into Vaishnavas. So it's a matter of becoming dedicated in that way, linked up in that way, through parampara, so that one is not jumping over at his guru or disrespecting his guru, but rather he's always in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant. So this is the proper attitude for a devotee. When Krishna sees this attitude in the devotee, then you know, Krishna empowers that devotee. He bestows his mercy and blessings upon that devotee. And in this way, the devotee becomes a proper representative of his guru and of Krishna. So this is not very difficult, then again, if a person has got his own idea or he doesn't want to accept these principles of spiritual life, then very easily he can become sidetracked and lose his potency. Prabhupada said like that, if don't change anything or you'll spoil everything. So this is Indra's fault here. Even though he's very powerful, he's honored by so many persons, still that slight fault when Brihaspati came into the assembly didn't offer him respect. That slight fault of disrespect towards his guru caused so much havoc in his own life, in the lives of those who were associated with him, and in this way he got into so much trouble. There are many examples of this in the Shastra. For example, this Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're nice examples. There's Gopal Chakrabarti, who was disrespectful towards Haridas Thakur. So, at the house of Hiranyan Govardhan Majumdar once, Haridas Thakur was giving a discourse on the glories of the holy name. And in the course of his discourse, he stated that by Namabhas one can attain liberation. That's chanting in the clearing stage. By Sudhana, pure chanting, one can attain Krishna Prema. But still the holy name is so powerful that even if it's not pure chanting, if it's just in the clearing stage, still one can attain liberation. So This statement was challenged by Gopal Chakravarti, who said that, just hear the statement of the sentimental devotee. Actually, this is not possible. One can only attain liberation after many, many, many lifetimes of various penances and austerities. So then he challenged Haridas Thakur that if one cannot attain liberation by chanting the holy name, then he said, I'll cut off your nose. So of course, immediately there was a big hubbub in the assembly of the gentlemen and Vaishnavas there. And Haridas Thakur responded that that's not necessary. If one cannot get liberation by chanting the holy name, I'll cut my own nose off. So then the assembly broke up, and the gentlemen were chastising this Gopal Chakravarti. And Haridas Thakur, they were apologizing to Haridas, you know, please excuse this offense that's taken place here in our house, that you've been disrespected. And so they were, you know, proper in their behavior. So Haridas said, this is not your fault, that you don't worry about this, you won't get any reaction from this. And he was even forgiving towards Gopal Chakravarti. He doesn't know what he's saying. He's an unfortunate person. But anyhow, this Gopal Chakravarti, he maintained his arrogant attitude. And within a few days, he got leprosy, and his beautiful long nose fell off. And he also had very long, beautiful fingers. They also were attacked by leprosy, and they also fell off. So this is the kind of reaction one gets for Namaparad, rather Vaishnavaparad, Guru Aparad, disrespect to the exalted Vaishnava, disrespect to the spiritual master. There's also the case of Gopala Chapala, who disrespected Srivas Thakur by putting articles for the worship of Durga on his front doorstep at night. And when he came out in the morning, then he saw what had happened, how this person was trying to get disrepute for him. So he called the people and said, you see what I've done? See, I'm worshipping the goddess Durga. Of course, they didn't believe it. They said, who has done this? Who is that rascal? So then Gopala Chapel, he had to hide away. And he was also attacked by leprosy. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went nearby, he fell at his feet and he begged for forgiveness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you rascal, you know, I'm not going to forgive you. You can run in hell for 100 lifetimes. He said, you offended Srivas Thakur. Only he can forgive. Then he went to Srivas Thakur and begged forgiveness. Then he was relieved from his offense and his cure of his leprosy. There also, there's the example of Ramchandra Khan. Ramchandra Khan, he was a land owner. He was puffed up. He was at the village of Benapole. Benapole, which is there. Still today, you can visit Bangladesh, just on the border of India. And on the other side is Haridaspur, where we had previously one ashram. Or maybe we still have, I'm not sure. Anyhow, it's a holy place. So he was a landowner there, and Haridas Thakur, he had his cottage there, Bhajan Kutir, and he was chanting the holy names. And people were offering him great respect and coming to take darshan and spiritual instruction from him. But Ramchandra Khan, he became envious towards Haridas Thakur. So he wanted to cause his disrepute. So he hatched a malicious scheme, and he commissioned one prostitute, one of the most youngest and beautiful prostitutes in that area, and he sent her to tempt Haridas Thakur. And she was convinced that no problem. But when she got there, of course, Haridas Thakur, he was so absorbed in chanting the holy name that he hadn't the slightest interest. And he just said, you please sit down and wait. I have to finish my rounds. And after that, I shall surely satisfy you, your desires. But then he went on chanting the whole night. She fell asleep. And the morning came and he said, I'm really very sorry that I was chanting a bit slowly tonight. And I couldn't finish in time. So you come back tomorrow night, and you know, I'll certainly satisfy you. Don't worry. So then again, she came back. Same thing happened. And again, he said, you know, I'm really sorry, you know. But anyway, come again one more time. So the third time she came, and then that night she began to feel great regret at her sinful, previous sinful activities, and especially about the fact that she was coming to try to, you know, disturb a great devotee like Haridas Thakur. So then she began to chant the holy name of the Lord and pray to the Lord for forgiveness and protection. And then in that way she was chanting the holy names. And then finally she fell at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur and she begged for forgiveness. And Haridas, he said, actually I could have left here the first time when you came, because I knew why you came. I knew, you know, that it's because of Ramchandra Khan. But just to deliver you, I stayed here and chanted the holy names. And now he said, you should go back and you should stop all this, you know, sinful activity. Sell off all your worldly possessions. Then you could come back here and you can shave your head and chant the holy names and worship Tulsi Devi. So she followed his instruction and she came back. And then she lived there. Haridas left. So this was a great offense by Ramchandra Khan. So then Lord Nityananda came to the village with his followers. And he had many followers with him. So he sent one of them to see Ramchandra Khan. Ramchandra Khan didn't bother to come out to greet him as he should have. Generally in Bengal, if you go to the village, even today, if devotees go to the village, people will come to greet you. They'll even greet you several miles away from the village. They'll come with Harinam, garlands, sandalwood. When the devotees come, they'll offer dandabat, even if it's muddy in the rainy season. They'll fall flat in the mud to welcome the devotees. They have such, you know, tradition of culture, Vaishnava culture. And they'll bring the person and they'll give him the best, you know, the devotee, they'll give them the best accommodation. They'll provide all meals and everything that's required. So for someone in those days, not even to come out of his house, since he was a big man in the village, a big man is expected to come out and to offer facilities. Depending how rich a person is, he has to offer even more. This is a tradition. Even in Bengal, if you take a rickshaw, if you're a rich man, you expect you have to give a little bit more. That's the way the culture is. A poor man can give less, a rich man has to give a little bit more. So if a rich man, you know, if he doesn't show any hospitality to guests coming, this is a great offense. So Ramchandra Khan, he didn't even come out. He simply sent one man to tell Lord Nityananda he can stay in the cow shed. So Lord Nityananda was very angry. He was very offended by this behavior. And he immediately, you know, said, this place is not fit even for meteors to stay. And he left the village. So within a few days, the Mohammedan tax collector came. And that Ramchandra Khan hadn't paid all of his taxes. So he actually ransacked the whole village. He took all the property of Ramchandra Khan and he even cooked cow's flesh right in the courtyard of Ramchandra Khan's house. So Prabhupada explains there that, you know, if somebody offends a Vaishnava, then not only he will get reaction, but his family members will get reaction, his village will get reaction. So we can see here in the case of Indra that he offended Brihaspati. Not only he got reaction, but all the demigods also. All his relatives and all his associates, they all got reaction. So therefore, this is a very serious matter. And one has to be very, very attentive in his behavior. One should seek out a spiritual master. Of course, one should be careful and cautious in selecting a spiritual master. But once one surrenders to a spiritual master, then he must be respectful to a spiritual master and serve his spiritual master and follow the directions of his spiritual master. In this way, he'll be properly situated in spiritual life. He'll get the blessings of his spiritual master. Not only get the blessing of spiritual master, he'll get the blessings of other senior Vaishnavas. All the Vaishnavas, they'll be pleased. They're pleased to see that someone is sincerely trying to execute the order of his spiritual master. This is always a very good quality, the best quality of a devotee. And because that there are primary characteristics and secondary characteristics of devotee. And there's 26 characteristics of a devotee. But the primary characteristic is that he surrendered to Krishna. And of course, one surrenders to Krishna by surrendering to the spiritual master. So through the vayamidhi of the spiritual master, one surrenders to Krishna. So this is the primary characteristic of the devotee. And from that, all the other qualities, secondary qualities, develop. So this is therefore essential for any aspirant in spiritual life, that he is attentive and submissive in his relationship with his spiritual master. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvati pranipatena pariprasnena seva upadeksanti tegena jnanina stattvadarshina, that you try to learn the truth by approaching his spiritual master, render service to him, inquire for him submissively. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge to you because he has seen the truth. And then there's also the verse, Tasma Gurum Prapajita Jigyasa Shreya Uttamam Sabdeshwari Chanishnatam Brahmanu Pashamashrayam, that anyone who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The bona fide spiritual master is one who has realized the purport of the scriptures by deliberation and can convince others of those conclusions. So such great souls who have given up material attachment and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are to be known as bona fide spiritual masters. Then there's also the verse, Yasya Deve Parabhakti Yata Devi Tatakaro Tasechi Katita Yata Prakasanti Mahatmana. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in the spiritual master and Krishna, all the imports of the Vedic literature are automatically revealed. Also the verses there, Acharya Mam Vijaniham Navamanya Nidakari Chit Namartya Buddha Suyata Sarvadeva Maya Guru. One should always respect the spiritual master and never disrespect him in any way, because he is to be considered the sum total, or the representative of all the demigods. The representative not only of the demigods but of Krishna. So that's why one must always be full of respect for the spiritual master. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is stated that Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Prasadipaya Bhakti Lata Beach, that we are wandering throughout the material creation. Sometimes we take birth in higher planets, sometimes in lower planets. But if one is fortunate, he comes in contact with the bona fide spiritual master, and by the grace of the spiritual master and Krishna, he gets the bhakti lata bij, the seed of devotional service, which is, of course, the process. It is the process of devotional service. So then it is said, Mali hal kore e bija aropan, shravana kirtana jali korea sechan, that then one should become a gardener and sow the seed in his heart and water it by the process of hearing and chanting. So then by that hearing chanting process, that seed of bhakti sprouts, it becomes a creeper, and it grows eventually to the spiritual world, where it takes shelter at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. But one has to be very attentive to pull out any weeds and to protect that creeper by fencing it around. So the fencing is the association of devotees. We should always remain in the association of devotees, because devotees will help us to maintain the proper attitude and they will inspire us in the service of Krishna. And they will also point out if we are making some mistake. If they see some misbehavior or some weed or fence is beginning to develop in our activities, the devotees will point it out. This spiritual master is there, he will point out, or the devotees will point out. So then we have to take out that weed. We have to stop that kind of a detrimental activity. Otherwise, our spiritual life will be spoiled. So sometimes in the association of devotees, one may feel that he's being chastised, or he's being criticized, or his false ego maybe takes a little bit of a bashing. But this is actually beneficial for our spiritual advancement, because in this material world we have such a big false egos. Huh? Everyone is walking around like in a bubble of false ego. And it's a fact that in the mind all day long, thinking, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'm such an intelligent person, such a beautiful person, I can impress other people, I can enjoy my life. Like it's going on, it's like some kind of a it's the record that plays in the brain, like one of those, the record stuck. It keeps repeating the same thing again and again. So this is going on inside the mind of practically everybody. This self-glorification and so on and so forth. So this, if a person, he's caught in that kind of a syndrome, then he doesn't like to hear others. He doesn't like to hear instruction from higher authority. He only likes to hear himself, or somebody who's pampering him. It's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained in that song, Bhulya Tamare, that when I was in the room, I was always praying to the Lord, when I get out, I'll serve you, my Lord, I'll never take birth again. But he said, as soon as I got out, then everyone was pampering me, patting me on the head, saying what a nice boy you are. And I thought this material life is very nice. So this is going on. The people are flattering one another, pampering one another, and then they're in the illusion that material life is very nice. But the Vaishnavas are not like that. They may speak. Of course, if they see someone doing nice service, they won't hesitate to offer some words of encouragement and glorification. That's quite proper. And in the Nectar of Devotion, it says that when one comes in the presence of his spiritual master, he should offer some words of glorification. So that's nice to appreciate the service of the Vaishnava. But on the other hand, if someone is misbehaving, then he needs to be told. So the Vaishnavas will be quite frank and straightforward with the person. Not sentimental. Like Prabhupada, he was not sentimental. He would sometimes speak very strongly. He said that guru means heavy. And the duty of the guru is to cut the knot of material attachment in the heart of the disciple. So he may speak very sharp words. Sometimes Prabhupada would even say, don't mind that I'm chastising you like this, but this is my duty. If I don't point out your faults, then how will you recognize them? And then how will you get rid of them? So this is quite in order for the spiritual master or for the senior Vaishnavas, even Vaishnavas who are on a similar level, to tell a person his weaknesses and faults, so that will help him to strengthen himself in spiritual life and overcome the weaknesses and faults. So in this way, one should not take offense in the association of Vaishnavas. If he's corrected, one should not become too touchy, too sensitive, and don't tell me anything, I don't want to be instructed like that. If one develops that mentality, then this is just a false ego, and it will cover over his intelligence and be the cause of his going away from Krishna consciousness. This is the cause of our coming to this material world. Krishna says it in Bhagavad Gita, Ichidvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Samoham Sarva Yanti Parantabaha. All living beings are born in delusion, overcome by the duality of desire and hate. So they desire sense gratification, they desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, to be the Lord and Master, and they hate being instructed by anyone else, or they hate to think there's a God or anybody greater than them. They don't want to accept any higher authority. But this is a disease of material mind. To think that we are the best and we are the authority. Isn't it? That's said in the Bhagavad Gita. That Ishwaraham Ahambogi Siddhoham Balaban Sukhi. This is the demonic mentality. Ishwaram, I am the controller, supreme controller, enjoyer. Aham Bhogi, I'm the enjoyer. Siddhoham, I am perfect. Balavan Sukhi, I am strong and powerful and I'm very happy. So this is the mentality of a materialistic person and a demonic person. So we have to give up this. We are not Ishwara. We are Das. Ishwara Das. We are servant of Ishwara. We are not bhogi. We are not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam. Krishna is the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities. All our activities, they should be performed for Him. He is Purusha. We are Prakriti. We are to be enjoyed by Him. Sarva Loka Maheshwaran, He is the proprietor of all the planets and demigods. Suridham Sarva Bhutan. And He is the friend and well-wisher of all the beings. So, one who surrenders to Krishna and recognizes Krishna's position, he becomes free from all the pangs and miseries of material existence by the grace of the Lord. So it is Krishna who is perfect and strong and happy. And we can become perfect and strong and happy by being situated under the shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, under His lotus feet and under the lotus feet of the spiritual master, then one is rightly situated in his proper constitutional position. If everyone tried to become God and Supreme, then, you know, they'll just create havoc. Because so many gods, how is it possible? There's only one Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone else is subordinate to Him. Even the demigods, they have their respective positions. They're powerful. But they shouldn't overstep their particular mandate. As soon as they overstep their mandate, think that they don't need Krishna, or that they're independently powerful, immediately they're in trouble. So it's the same with us. We have our particular position. So we have to act according to that position. But no matter what a person's position, whether he's a Lord Brahma, whether he's on this planet, wherever he is, if he has a proper attitude of service and surrender and he knows his position, then he can perfect his life. Doesn't matter whether he's a big leader, say in this kind, he's a, you know, big leader, so-called big leader, or he's simply sweeping the temple room every day. Doesn't matter. If he's sincere and he's executing his service with devotion to spiritual master, to Guru and Krishna, then he'll make great spiritual advancement. Prophet said, whether you're addressing the deity or whether you're cleaning the floor of the temple, it's the same, it's Krishna's service. So one shouldn't be cocked up that I'm a Brahmin, I'm a big pujari or whatever, and he's just a lowly sweeper. Prabhupada gave the example, isn't it, of that man in the Mercedes driving the car in India. And you know in India, you know, Mercedes are meant for driving very fast, very powerful engine. In Germany there's no speed limit. They can drive as fast as they want. But in India, you try to drive like that, you can't. Because there's so many people on the street, so many rickshaws. So. In Calcutta they had these pulling rickshaws so that, you know, he was in his Mercedes car, no doubt he imported from Germany, paying $300. But in India, you try to drive like that, you can't. Because there are so many people on the street, so many rickshaws. So. In Calcutta, they had these pulling rickshaws for it. You know, he was in his Mercedes car, no doubt he imported from Germany, paying 300% duty. So he wanted to, you know, get some gratification by driving fast. and the rickshaw was in front, so he was blowing the horn and shouting out the window, "Hey you, rickshaw, get out of my way." So Prabhupada used to, this is the mentality. They think, I am Mercedes, he is rickshaw. Bodily identification. So if we identify ourselves, we may have some position, some service, but if we identify ourselves that I'm, you know, I'm the temple president, and or I'm the, you know, GBC, or the, you know, whatever, then we'll fall in illusion. Whatever position we have, it is servant's position. Servant's position. So we always have to see like that. Even Prabhupada said that spiritual master, he's a servant of his disciples. Because he has to guide them and help them in the spiritual life. Just like the father, he's a servant of the children. He's always working to maintain the children and bring up the children. So even Krishna, he becomes a servant of his devotees. He likes to serve his devotees. So this mood of service, this is so nice. And it's so important in spiritual. There's a whole principle of spiritual. This kind of mutual service between Krishna and the devotees and Krishna, devotees and the other devotees. Yeah. It's always that. I'm the servant of the servant, the servant of the servant of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So in this way, if one develops that attitude, then it's very easy to make rapid spiritual advancement, to be happy in spiritual life in Krishna consciousness, and also to create a very nice society of devotees. And if the society of devotees is very harmonious, then it's easy for people to be attracted to come and join the movement also. So this will be achieved by each and every devotee trying to develop that mood of humble service to their spiritual master. Not only the spiritual master, but the other Vaishnavas as well. Sometimes you hear in India, person, I don't need a guru. I know what Krishna wants. I directly have connection with Krishna. So, of course, this is completely wrong. That's obvious from all the shastras. But then again, sometimes a person may say, I've got my guru. I don't have to listen to anybody else. He's given me instruction. I don't have to listen to the president of the GBC or the local devotees who have different responsibilities. But this is the same kind of thing, you see. It's also another kind of offensive behavior. Actually, one has to properly establish that in ISKCON, we have to work according to the guidance of our local authorities. There's so many examples of that. Devotees writing to Prabhupada, you know, what about this, what about that? And Prabhupada would tell them, you act under the guidance of your GBC and your temple president. And of course, if this, say one has some aspiration to do some other service, maybe to go to another temple or start another project or do another service, then he can, you know, if he can try to work it out with his temple president or local senior devotees, if that can't be worked out, then he should try to work it out with the GBC like that. He should try to work through the ISKCON authorities and come to some understanding. Because sometimes devotees have inspiration to do a certain service. Sometimes their local authority may say, well, no, you just stay. I had experience myself in India. I wanted to go to Bangladesh to do some preaching. And the person who was in charge of the library party I was working for, he wanted me to stay on that party. And I wanted to ask Prabhupada about this, but he told Prabhupada's secretary that this devotee can't see Prabhupada unless he has a letter from me. So when I went to see Prabhupada, the secretary told me like that. He said, you can't come in. But somebody else told Prabhupada. And then one day I was just happened to be near Prabhupada's door, and it suddenly opened, and I think servant was coming in. Prabhupada was sitting at his desk. He saw me there. He said, come in. So I came in. He said, you have made the right decision. He said, you should go there immediately and preach. So sometimes, you know, our authorities, they may want to keep us in a particular place, but sometimes that the inspiration or desire we have, it may be a genuine one, and it may be a good thing for spreading Krishna consciousness. But we should try to work it out in the proper way so that we get the proper blessings and the proper authorization. And if we don't, then we shouldn't do it. Because I also have experience when I had some idea. I remember when I was in Bombay and I was the manager there, the vice president. And I was thinking of going back to England to start some bus party, like Ramayana Maharaj. So Prabhupada got to hear about it and he called me and he said, actually, you're needed here, you have to stay here. So you shouldn't go there. So later he told me that if you want to do it, then do it in India. And he said, I'll show you how to do it. I'll show you how to distribute books. And I had some idea we'd go and we'd sell books in the street, but actually Prabhupada's idea was to put books in all the libraries and colleges. So he had that concept. He said, I'll show you how to do it. Later, and he got the chance to do it. In due course, he asked me once, do you like book distribution or temple management? So I said, I like book distribution, Prabhupada. So he said, well, he said, you stay here and manage the temple for some time. He said, then later he said, you know, you'll get the chance to distribute. And sure enough, by his arrangement, he got the chance in due course of time. So like that, we have to be patient. We have to act under the guidance of our authorities and try to get their blessing, even if we have some ideas. Because after all, we're a movement and a society. And we have to keep the society strong, and we have to keep the preaching mood especially in the society, because this is essential. And therefore, this was Prabhupada's mood. He was a lion-like preacher of Krishna consciousness. He wasn't so inclined to simply a Vajjananandi type of existence. He is a real Hastinandi that following in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take this Krishna conscious movement to every town and village. So he was always making so many plans, and as he said, that preaching is the essence, books are the basis, utility is the principle, purity is the force, and preaching is the essence. So we have to, whatever we're doing, we have to keep that preaching mood in any service. And Prabhupada recommended that everyone go out on Sankirtan at least once a week. So actually it was some statistics I saw of the Jehovah's Witnesses that they have some circulation of 16 million copies of their, is it Watchtower? 16.1 million, and they have some 4 million actual dedicated followers who, you know, who go out and preach. So how did they get to that? That everyone in their congregation goes out like for a minimum of like 2 hours a week, 2-3 hours a week. They go knocking on doors and they witness, I mean they preach. So just by performing that activity for, you know, years and years and years and years, they've made so many people into Jehovah's Witnesses. So like that, we also, every devotee, even if he has another service, say pujari or cook, or he's a grihastha trying to earn his living to maintain his family, no matter who he is, if you can just put a few hours every week to go out and preach and distribute some books, and knock on a few doors and just tell people about Krishna, give them some prasad, you know, we can all find that time, that opportunity. So if everyone does like that, it'll have tremendous effect to spread the Krishna conscious movement. So we should all, and it will be very inspiring to us personally. Each and every devotee will feel inspiration from that preaching activity. So we should all remember that, and that is the best way to serve Prabhupada, to keep that preaching mood in ISKCON. So if we can keep it in our own personal lives, then it will be encouraging to others, and you know, we'll see fruits from that. Because all the devotees, they want to see the number of devotees increase, but the only way to really make the number of devotees to increase is to go and tell people about Krishna, or give them a book about Krishna. So we should make that resolve. Every devotee should make that resolve somehow or other. Even he may feel, I'm not a good book distributor, or I'm not an outgoing person, I'm a bit shy. Never mind, don't be afraid, just go and try. And Krishna will help you. Because Krishna is speaking through the devotees. You pray to Krishna, Krishna will help you. Even if you're not a good book distributor, if you just stand on the street with some books, Krishna will, more than likely, he will send someone there who's interested. What are these books? So, you just have to try, and then Krishna will create the opportunity. There's so many nice stories of devotees on Sankirtan, you know, how so many remarkable things happen to them. And they could see it's just Krishna's arrangement. It's not my doing, it's Krishna's arrangement. Krishna's sent the people to take the books. I just have to be out there and showing them, representing Krishna. So it's just a question of trying. And this will help us all individually, help us as a society. And it will help us to do our services better. Whatever service we may be doing, see, whether we're an agriculturalist having a farming community, or whether we're working in a restaurant, or a businessman, or a sannyasi, or a lawyer, or a doctor, or whatever our occupation is, still if we take the opportunity to glorify Krishna and tell others about Krishna, then we'll get the mercy of the Lord, and there'll be genuine effect from that attempt. This is a preaching rule, and that will be the best way to glorify Srila Prabhupada. We're approaching the centennial, so the best way to glorify Srila Prabhupada is to expand the preaching as a group, as a society, and also individually. So a society is made up of individuals. So each individual devotee has to endeavor to improve their attitude of devotion to others, to the devotees, and to Krishna, and to improve their sadhana, and to improve their service and their preaching. Actually, Prabhupada said that non-violence means to preach Krishna consciousness. Violence means not to tell others about Krishna, not to give them Krishna consciousness. That is actually violence. He was asked to speak at some meeting about Gandhi. Prabhupada was asked to say something about the principles of non-violence. So in that meeting, Prabhupada, he said that non-violence means that you give other people Krishna consciousness. So if you know about Krishna and you keep it all to yourself, actually you'll lose your spiritual knowledge. There are several places in the Bhagavatam it's said like that, that a Brahmin who doesn't give knowledge to others, then he loses his spiritual potency. Like a pot, a water pot with a crack in it, all the water will go out, drain out, become dry. So in the same way, a devotee who has spiritual knowledge, he must give to others. Of course, by their different services, the devotees are helping the movement. There's no doubt. Someone's a pujari, he's helping to give Krishna to others, dressing the deity beautifully so that they're attractive to all the other devotees and attractive to the guests. But still, there should be that attempt. We're all talking to people and meeting people. Everybody's doing it. So there has to be that attempt to give Krishna to others. So then one is a generous person and he's a non-violent person. But when he keeps Krishna to himself, then actually he's doing violence to others and he's also becoming a kripana or a miserly person. So devotees, they're not duratmas or kripanas, but they're mahatmas. They should be very kind, very generous, and this way they're magnanimous, as Lord Chaitanya was magnanimous to all. There's a nice verse, just to finish, nice verse in the Chaitanya Bhagavata. Ajana lambito bujo kanakava data sankirtanai pitaro kamalaya taksha vishvambaro dvijavaro yugadharma phalo vande jagatpriya karo karunavatara. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, whose long arms extend down to their knees, whose beautiful complexions are radiant yellow like molten gold, and whose reddish eyes are elongated like lotuses. They are the topmost brahmanas, the guardians of religious principles for this age. They are the most munificent benefactors of all humanity and the most merciful incarnations of Godhead. They inaugurated the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So they are our lords, they are the lords of the Santikan movement, and we are the servants of those lords. So we must pick up their mood and distribute these fruits of love of God, as Lord Chaitanya requested his followers. He said, how many fruits can I alone pick and distribute? Therefore I order every man to distribute these fruits of love of God. So this is the mission of the Sankirtan movement, and we should have that mission very clearly in our mind. We always talk about mission statements and what's the mission of ISKCON. This is the mission of ISKCON. To fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya by distributing Krishna Prem Harinam to one another. So, any questions? Comment?
Raj, you were mentioning how even if one's a little shy, if he just stands around the corner, then Krishna will send somebody. So yesterday we were on Harinam, we were in the square, and devotees were lecturing in the crowd. Afterwards, when man came up to me, and he turned out to be a psychiatrist, head of a big clinic in America, in Kansas City. And he said, I always thought you people were kooky. But by hearing your devotees, he said, I can see it makes a lot of sense. So I talked to him for a while. And then afterwards, he said at the end, he said, is there any literature I can get on Hare Krishna? And I pointed him, directed him to one of the book distributors. And he's walking away, he said, I never thought I'd buy a Krishna book. He said, but today I'm fascinated, so I can't wait to get one of those little books. There's a man who, is a psychiatrist, well-educated man. He heard so many bad things about us, but when he came in contact with the devotees, his heart melted, and he became sincerely interested, and he wanted to buy a piece of literature.
Okay, so I think finish it.
Get ready for me.
Congratulations, my brother. Yeah. 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 Yeah.